Welcome everyone to this interview where I'm super excited to be talking with Karen Ortner. Firstly, Karen, welcome and thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
It's nice to have a fellow Brit. So I think this is a really important conversation. I think so much is said in the conference and in different dialogues around trauma, around healing trauma. But often what gets in the way of healing trauma is the defenses and the resistance that come up. And that is what we're going to be focusing on in today's conversation. To give people a bit of context, Karen is an EFT tapping expert and coach specializing in trauma healing. In 2005, Karen's mother died of lung and brain cancer, radically transforming the direction of her life. Triggered by her loss, memories of childhood sexual abuse and trauma surfaced, and a journey towards healing began. We're going to come into that in a little bit. Karen trained in various mind-body modalities, including EFT tapping, somatic experiencing, energy healing, NLP, hypnotherapy, and Reiki. And she began her private coaching practice in 2007. Today, Karen specializes in EFT tapping for trauma, combining all her tools to guide her clients towards healing, treating not only the emotional and psychological aspects of trauma, but also the physical manifestations of it. Having gone to the darkest places, Karen candidly shares her story, her struggles, and her survival to help her clients and her community see that there is hope and healing is possible. Karen, I'd love just to start a little bit with a bit more of your story. Like a lot of people that are drawn towards this area, you obviously were brought through some of your own challenges and struggles.
Absolutely, yeah. And it wasn't at the start of my life. I was on one track and then veered. So it's very different. But so, yeah, I grew up in a sort of trauma environment, if you like, from the get-go, from birth. Alcoholic father, very violently abusive to myself, my siblings, my mother. I would frequently witness that violence. And for myself, he was very sexually abusive towards me, which was really challenging to deal with. I remember trying to tell my mom what was happening when I was 5 years old, and her not believing me. And that was such a pivotal moment for me, because when I look back now, it was really that time when I stopped believing in myself. I stopped actually acknowledging what was happening, and I buried everything. I thought, it must be my fault. I'm bad. I'm shameful. It's all on me. And so that was a really big challenge point that I know a lot of people watching will probably relate to as well. And how it showed up for me, I threw myself into schooling. I was, you know, as it often does for people, overachieving, getting the best grades, went off to college, had a really seemingly great career in movies from the outside. But on the inside, I was coping through drugs, alcohol, self-harm, all those different strategies that were exactly what we're going to be talking about today. The ways that I was resisting the pain that was underneath of everything that I was trying to avoid and stay away from that. And then in 2005, as you mentioned, my mom passed away, lung and brain cancer, and it just shifted everything for me. And I really realized it was time to stop and take a big, hard look at my life. Met my husband, training at one of these seminars in California, moved to America. And then we were making the actual tapping documentary back in 2007. And one of the participants was talking about abuse with her father, and it all started to just come back. And that was really when I was drawn to tapping. And then from there, how all the resistance was showing up in my body, the insomnia, all the physical aspects of the trauma was really starting to come out. And I added somatic experiencing as well as all the other modalities. And it's been a journey ongoing since then.
And I particularly want to just point to what you said around how your mom responded, because there's obviously, there's what happens, there's how we respond, but also how those around us respond has such a big impact.
It does. Instead of validating the child and saying, yes, I believe you, let's take action, that would have been a completely different outcome. But as it was, everything, I turned it all inwards, which is what happens for so many of us.
Yeah. Also, what often happens is we develop these different strategies. We have to find ways to be able to make sense of, to hide, to bury what happens to us. And often those defenses come up as we start to heal. It's almost like the things which were the kind of protection that kept us safe in time become the roadblock. They become the piece that's in the way. And I'd love you to talk a bit about that resistance that comes up, and perhaps a little bit about some of your own experience of that resistance.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a really important part to this. And, you know, resistance is a protection. It's a safety mechanism that we are so often not even aware is there. And that's what makes it such a chameleon thing and so tricky to pin down for people, and myself included with that, right? So I know that, you know, I'll often have clients come to me who'll say, I really want to lose 50 pounds, 100 pounds, and yet they're not able to do it. Some people might say they're sabotaging that attempt, right? But really, it's because there's this defense, this protection that says, if I lose that weight, it won't be safe. And I love I think it was the 1980s, they did a study in San Diego, which was really fascinating. If anyone wants to look up that research, it's really informative. Where they were studying this group of weight loss participants who they were losing 200 sometimes pounds really effectively, but then almost immediately bouncing back up again. So they began to ask questions. And what they found was there was a really strong correlation between the weight loss attempts and the correlation with high ACE scores, adverse childhood experiences. And whatever that might show up as for me, an alcoholic father, the sexual trauma, for the viewers, it might be something different. But that thing that's blocking us from getting to what we feel, we truly believe we want, in this case, it was weight loss, but for others, it might be something else. And for me, I see it really shows up in two key ways in my life. The first has been probably the most painful part and what really has been behind me doing this work all along for myself and with my practice is intimacy with my husband. And it's sometimes it's a tough thing to talk about, right? It's kind of a taboo subject, and we all want that area of life to be okay. And I wanted that more than anything. But what I found is every time I would go to connect with him in that way, to be intimate, I would freeze. I would have the panic attacks. I would immediately go into that shutdown place. And so it became a process of working very closely together with my husband to recognize that suddenly I wasn't in my grounded adult self being me, but suddenly there was this inner young part of me, this child part, who was re-traumatized by that experience. And so that was a big part of it. And another one more recently, I took up ballroom dancing as just my absolute passion and joy. And it's something I love to do and I love to compete. But what I found is it ties very much into the visibility and the shame piece from childhood. Not safe to be me, not safe to be seen. So there's me going out on a dance floor, being judged, no less, by people. I find that my body speaks up. I get injuries. Even now, though I work with it very diligently, shoulder injuries, ankles, suddenly my foot won't want to move. And so that causes me to stop and say, what's really going on underneath? And it's when we can do that and really pause and look at what our body is saying to us through the different mind-body modalities that are available to us, that we can begin to really move through that resistance, that protection towards what we really want in life.
Yeah. And sometimes these coping strategies, we can get away with not addressing them because they're sort of functionally dysfunctional, if that makes sense. And then other times, like what you're describing, that you're in a loving relationship and you want to be able to be intimate. So there's a kind of motivation to work with it. Yeah. One of the ways that my way of not feeling showed up was just being in my head the whole time. And that was a positive because I had this really well-developed intellect, but there was also a negative that I would tend towards a lot of anxiety and panic attacks because my mind was overactive. Right. And it was only when those panic attacks got so severe, it was like, I have to find that it's so miserable, this strategy, that I have to find a way to deal with it. So perhaps it's worth saying a bit about what causes this resistance to happen, like the mechanism of why we develop these different strategies.
Yeah, that's a really good one. And, you know, when we really want to do something, we might have that belief that I really want to do whatever it might be. I really want to have better sleep habits, right? But what we find is that it bumps up against the unconscious part of us that's saying, that's really unsafe. So what's really happening is an unprocessed aspect of a trauma that we've experienced is being brought up to the surface. And that's what we're really seeing when we see the resistance. It's like, oh, something here, there's something to work with. And that's why I love it, actually, because when we look, it's there, right there for us to begin to explore. And it's that this doesn't feel safe to part of us that is so very crucial, because no matter how much we like brute force our way through it, like you might try to do with the thinking part, right, it doesn't work. And our body very firmly, the more that we push that way, the bigger the resistance or the defense will get. So really it's we can take the little feather or we can take the brick. It's our choice when it comes to resistance.
But I think part of what's really important in the frame that you're using here as well is that the resistance is not something in us which is broken. It's not something in us that is, although the behavior might not be serving us anymore, there is wisdom, intelligence, and ultimately there's a self-care that's at the heart of it.
Yeah, and that's the compassion piece that we so often miss. Right. We go the other way and we beat ourselves up for it. Why can't I do this thing? Why am I so slow? Why am I all the beliefs that run through our head? And when we can see it instead of being a problem, but actually the doorway to the solution, it's such a different perspective to it.
Yeah. It also, in a sense, what it does is it softens our attitude towards it, right? It's like what we resist will persist. So the more that we want to fight those places, the more they lock up to try and protect us.
They do, absolutely. And, you know, I have a lot of clients with a lot of pain challenges, autoimmune, a lot of different conditions like that. And they find that when they are in this place of resisting something, it exacerbates those symptoms. And that's really when we bring in the compassion and a little bit of self-love and, okay, I'm doing my best. I'm not broken, as you said. And this is really here. It has served me. And how can I work with it to move into the life that I truly want?
So how can people get better at recognizing this resistance? How can they identify it when it's showing up?
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, it can be tricky to begin with because it's that elusive thing that likes to dodge. And I had someone the other day say, oh, I really want to be here, but yet had shown up for the session 45 minutes late. So it's a little indicator right there that there may be something to look at. So for our viewers watching at home, I'd say begin to notice, to spot those places where what we really want is in opposition to what our behaviors are, right? So maybe we really want, going back to the weight loss piece, right? I really want to lose this weight, but every night I'm knee deep in a box of cookies. And it's that disparity between, I really, really want this, but I need to be safe. It's that dance, that push pull that we're feeling. And so people might begin to notice it in things like feeling a bit foggy, a little bit dissociated when they try and think about that thing. What was I going to do? And, you know, they lose the train of thought. They might miss meetings or appointments, like I said, all different ways like that, that become little dots to say there's something here that I'm not wanting to do.
So it's almost like one is in some way in conflict with themselves, or their behavior is in conflict with their intention somehow.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what it feels like. And the futility that can bring, the frustration, is oftentimes when we see people saying things like, oh, this is just not working, I should stop. Or let me try that other modality that I was thinking about. They'll hop around. And it's really fascinating to watch, actually, if you can step back from it for a moment and witness that in others and in yourselves too. It's really, really interesting.
And you mentioned in the example with the ballroom dancing, like getting injuries, there's also other ways, like it's not just behavioral, right? There's also physical ways that this resistance can show up.
Yes, it really does. Well, for me, I'll tell you, I began to have so many issues physically. I had SIBO, a lot of GI stuff. I had UTIs, kidney infections, a lot of different things like that. And then, as I mentioned, as I was resisting processing memories, it would show up in my body. So I began to get the somatic piece there. So it was only when I would sit with, say, an arm that was completely immobilized that I realized, oh, that was actually a memory piece of a physical event that took place when I had my elbow dislocated as a child. And so those are the places, if people notice with them in themselves, huh, what physical symptoms am I having? Maybe it's GI issues, maybe it's an autoimmune condition, maybe it's something chronic like migraines or panic attacks like that. It's all different ways that our body is speaking to us.
And actually recognizing that as a communication and as a based on the level of understanding that part of us has, a wise communication, as we're saying, as opposed to going to a place of, why have I got this migraine, or why can't I follow through with this thing that I want to do?
Yeah, absolutely. And for the longest time, I have to be honest, I hated my body. I was in, it felt like a battleground, this complete warfare of grief, of why is my body betraying me? Why is my body letting me down? And this may resonate with people at home too, but actually our bodies are trying their best to protect us, to keep us safe, to serve us. And so when we can look at it, like you said, as a communication, it changes absolutely everything. And that's why I love these modalities and I love tapping, because it really helps us to begin to start accepting where we're at right now and soften that so that we can move into what could be possible.
So let's come to that a bit more. There'll be people here which are very familiar with tapping and people here that have no idea what we're talking about and think
we're about
hammering in nails or something. So yeah. Just really give us a little bit of context of what tapping is.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll give just a basic thing and then I'll show the tapping points so that people who don't know, for those who do, then just bear with us. But for the people who don't know, then it's good to refresh that. Okay, so basically, EFT tapping, or emotional freedom techniques, as it's also known, it's based on ancient Chinese acupressure points, and it's combined with modern psychology as well. And there are 9 simple points that we use during the regular tapping that everyone sees. And I'll just show what those are. So there's the karate chop point here, which is just on the side of the hand, and you could do either. There's the top of the head. The eyebrow, which is right where the eyebrow starts, and the side of the eye, just on the bone, is under the eye, under the nose, the chin point, which isn't down here, it's right in between there, the collarbone. If you feel the collarbones and then come down just an inch or two, it should feel a little bit tender there. And then under the arm, again, you can do either side, and it's right around the level of where, for a lady, the bra strap would sit. And that's it. Those are the basic points. And it's so wonderfully simple that people can do it for themselves, by themselves at home. And it's tremendously effective to use. I know that there's been, I think, over 100 clinical trials now with this. So just showing how effective it is. And the one that I love particularly that speaks to me regarding PTSD is a study that was done with veterans. Mm-hmm. And they found that they had the whole, you know, some were doing it, some were not. And in the ones that were, they reduced the clinical PTSD symptom levels by 52%. So that just gives people who may be a little bit skeptical, what's this weird stuff we're doing, an idea that it is so profoundly helpful. And basically a little of the science behind it is, as we tap on these points, we are sending calming signals to the amygdala, to the nervous system, and helping ourselves to calm down and move out of the more sympathetic fight, flight, freeze modes into the parasympathetic branch of rest and relaxation, which is where healing takes place, as we know, and it's where all the good stuff happens. So that's why I love it so much. It's a very simple, easy way to move our nervous system into the way that we want it to be.
And it's probably also worth adding that one of the defensive strategies people can have is unnecessary levels of cynicism, right? So sometimes the way people protect themselves is reject everything by, oh, it can't be that easy. Yeah. Or it can't. And yeah. one of the great frames within tapping is try it on everything, right? Just see what happens.
And that was actually the original title of the movie that we did. Try it on everything. just try it on this, try it on that. And going back to the veterans, you know, one of the guys in that documentary, John, he was very skeptical. He was quite resistant to it. And then he'd been in Vietnam and was very afraid of rats because he'd been attacked by rats while he was there. And so one of the things that was my lucky job to do was to go get a rat from a pet store and borrow this rat. Lucky me. And
it wasn't a dull day at work by the sounds of it.
No, it wasn't. No. Holding the rat, which I got to hold this rat, I wasn't a big fan either, but I had to step up and make this space, you know. And what we found was that John is now able to go back to Vietnam every single year to help those veterans still there. And he's had so many remarkable shifts, as have so many people with this. So yes, we can be skeptical, and we can say, even though I'm really skeptical and this is not going to work, I'm going to give it a go anyway. And that's my invitation for everybody today, is just try it out and see if it works.
And we're going to come to a practical piece in a moment. Do you just want to give a little disclaimer of where it, what it would be appropriate from and what it might not be, and how people just keep themselves safe in terms of the process?
Yes, I think it's so important that we do this. And like I said before, tapping is so available to us, you know, to use in the car, in the shower, wherever it's safe to do if we're feeling a little bit out of sorts. But I will say that if somebody notices something's getting really activated, or they're working through a trauma that's particularly deep, bothersome, troublesome, it's always good to work with a practitioner, whether that's a coach or a therapist or anything like that, to get the support that you need, because it's not always easy, to pull ourselves out of a panic attack, for example. It's not always easy to do that. And so it's really, really important to seek the help that we need.
Yeah. And I think also people coming into working with tapping, it's like one grows their capacity, right? So initially, one might be working with something relatively simple that feels really okay and manageable, and one gets a little bit of success with that. One sense of confidence and competence then grows with it. And it's listening, just like that resistance has wisdom, it's almost enlisting that wisdom in the healing path, as opposed to just trying to fight and override it.
It is. And, you know, we call that the window of tolerance, right? And over time that expands, that to begin with, maybe we can just do, you know, one drop of this challenge that we're facing, or 1% of it today, or even we're going to put it on a sign really far away and look at it through a microscope and just notice that maybe that's enough for today. Right. When I start with my clients, particularly, we maybe do 5 minutes of actual what you might consider work. Right. The rest of it is resourcing and making sure that we feel safe and grounded. And that is often overlooked with this work, to really be in a good space with it, and to know when we've reached that limit to, OK, I'm just going to step back and know that that was enough for today.
Yeah. Great. So let's come into this practical piece. And also what's nice about this is people can use this again if they like to. So, you know, they can follow the first time perhaps quite simply, and then work a bit more deeply each time.
Yeah, definitely. And so there's going to be a few steps to this process. And what I'd love to invite for everybody at home, and you can join in with us too, Alex, if you want, is to pick something, and maybe something already came to mind as we've been talking here today, that's bothersome to you, right? That is a place where you're feeling that resistance already. Like, I really want to do this thing. I really want to write a book, but I just can't get myself to sit down and do it. Likely that's a place of resistance that doesn't feel safe because of maybe visibility, something like that. So if everyone can go ahead and just think of what that thing would be for them. And then we're going to notice that in just a minute, okay? Good. So if everyone's got that thing, we'll go ahead and talking about that safety. It's really important that we find a place within us or around us, if in our body doesn't feel safe right now, that does feel okay. So often with this work, we get very used to finding the part that hurts or the bit that aches, whether it's our back or our shoulder or our neck, we slept funny or something. So let's all tune in right now to a place that feels the best in our body. And that might not be awesome. It might just be okay today, right? But where is that for me today? My legs feel pretty good. They feel strong. They feel stable and grounded. So just notice where that is for each person. Maybe it could be the pinky finger, just something small like that, right? And just breathe into that space for a second. Yeah. Noticing as you do that, that the breath deepens and there's a little bit of expansion maybe. Yeah. Good. And if it's not feeling very possible inside, just take a look around the space that you're in. Maybe there's a picture that you like on your wall that feels good to you, that brings that same feeling of, ah. Oh, okay, good. And now we have that experience of feeling a little bit more settled and centered. And we have our thing that was feeling a little bit like we're resisting a little bit, feeling a bit of defensiveness about. We'll check in with that. And what I'd love for you to do right now is to bring that thing, that problem, that issue to the forefront of your mind. And as you do that, as you think about, I really want to write this book, notice inside how it shifts from that place that was feeling good to that feeling of, oh, I'm feeling a bit tense here, a little bit constricted. Maybe the shoulders come up and behave like they're earrings suddenly. You know, we've got all that going on. And just notice how that, if there's clenching and a bit of that resistance, because that's so important for this tapping work that we're going to do today. Yeah, good. And now that we have that, we'll go ahead and we'll do some tapping. And all the while, you're going to be focused on that challenge for you, whatever it might be. Now, some of my language with this tapping will be very general. If I'm working one-on-one with someone, I like to be as specific as possible because it means that we're getting very targeted results. But what I want for you to do is to insert your problem, insert your challenge, your resistance, your how it's showing up, like all this tightness in my chest. And that's the way that we can make this really resonate for each and every person here today. Okay, so we're going to start on the karate chop point, and I'm going to say the points and say it, and then Alex and everyone at home is going to repeat after me. Okay, so on the side of the hand, the karate chop point. Even though I'm feeling all this resistance to this thing.
Even though I'm feeling all this resistance to this thing.
And I kind of believe I really want to do it.
And I kind of believe I really want to do it.
There's some parts of me that aren't quite so sure.
There's some parts of me that aren't quite so sure.
And I'm accepting that these parts are here with me today.
And I'm accepting that these parts are here with me today.
And even though I'm experiencing quite a lot of resistance.
And even though I'm experiencing quite a lot of resistance.
And right now it's showing up in my, wherever it's showing up.
And even though right now it's showing up, wherever it's showing up.
I'm acknowledging that this is where I'm at right now.
I'm acknowledging this is where I'm at right now.
And I'm doing my best with this.
And I'm doing my best with this.
Yeah. And even though there is a lot of resistance to this thing.
And even though there is a lot of resistance to this thing.
I'm open to working through this today.
I'm open to working through this today.
Because that would feel pretty awesome.
Because that would feel pretty awesome.
Good. And then we're going to go on through the tapping points, just continuing just like that. Okay. On the top of the head. I'm feeling all this resistance.
I'm feeling all this resistance.
On the eyebrow, and I'm noticing it in my, and then fill in the blank.
And I'm noticing it in.
On the side of the eye, and it doesn't feel very good.
It doesn't feel very good.
Under the eye, I'd really like to do this thing.
I'd really like to do this thing.
Under the nose, I don't know what's stopping me.
I don't know what's stopping me.
On the chin point, it's so frustrating to me.
And it's so frustrating to me.
on the collarbone, because I truly believe I really want to do this.
Because I truly believe I really want to do this.
Under the arm. But what if that's not quite true?
What if that's not quite true?
On the top of the head. What if it doesn't feel fully safe to do this thing?
What if it doesn't feel fully safe to do this thing?
On the eyebrow. It doesn't.
It doesn't.
On the side of the eye. And that's the truth right now.
And that's the truth right now.
Under the eye. When I really tune in to how my body's feeling.
When I really tune in to how my body's feeling.
Under the nose. I'm noticing that it doesn't feel fully safe to do this.
I'm noticing that it doesn't feel fully safe to do this.
On the chin point. Because who would I be if I did get there?
Because who would I be if I did get there?
On the collarbone. I've dealt with this for so long.
I've dealt with this for so long.
Under the arm. It's really familiar to me.
And it's really familiar to me.
On the top of the head. And maybe I prefer that familiarity than this newness.
Maybe I prefer that this familiarity to that newness.
On the eyebrow. It's not safe to go to something unknown.
It's not safe to go to something unknown.
If I release my resistance to this.
And if I release my resistance to this.
Under the eye, what would that be like?
What would that be like?
Under the nose, I've got no idea.
I've got no idea.
On the chin, I wonder what it would be like.
I wonder what it would be like.
On the collarbone, to really, finally do that thing I've been wanting.
To really, finally do that thing I've been wanting.
Under the arm, to lose the weight.
To lose the weight.
On the top of the head, to feel well.
To feel well.
On the eyebrow, to sleep peacefully.
To sleep peacefully.
On the side of the eye, I've got no idea.
I've got no idea.
And I'm scared of what I'll have to go into to get there.
I'm scared of what I'll have to go into to get there.
Under the nose. Because I lived it once before.
Because I lived it once before.
On the chin. I went through this trauma before.
I went through this trauma before.
On the collarbone. And I'm scared that I'll have to relive it.
And I'm scared that I'll have to relive it.
Under the arm. But what if that's not true?
What if that's not true?
On the top of the head. What if I can release this resistance and this trauma?
What if I can release this resistance and this trauma?
On the eyebrow without having to go right into it.
Without having to go right into it.
On the side of the eye. I don't know if that's possible.
I don't know if that's possible.
Under the eye. But I'm giving myself permission today.
But I'm giving myself permission today.
Under the nose. To be a little bit curious about it.
To be a little bit curious about it.
On the chin. To open myself up to this possibility.
And to open myself up to this possibility.
On the collarbone, to breathe maybe just a little bit deeper.
To breathe maybe a little bit deeper.
Under the arm, to know that yes, what I went through was awful.
To know that yes, what I went through was awful.
On the top of the head, and yes, it happened.
Yes, it happened.
On the eyebrow, and nothing that I do can take that away.
Nothing I do can take that away.
On the side of the eye. But I can work to release the intensity and the charge around it.
But I can work to release the intensity and the charge around it.
Under the eye. So it doesn't have to rule my life anymore.
So it doesn't have to rule my life anymore.
Under the nose. So if I want better sleep.
So if I want better sleep.
And on the chin point. But sleep was never safe growing up.
But sleep was never safe growing up.
On the collarbone. What if I could allow myself to separate back then from today?
And what if I could allow myself to separate back then from today?
Under the arm. But yes, I wasn't safe back then.
But yes, I wasn't safe back then.
On the top of the head. And I'm acknowledging that.
And I'm acknowledging that.
On the eyebrow, and I'm validating all of my experiences and traumas.
And I'm validating all of my experiences and traumas.
on the side of the eye. And I'm giving myself permission to see now.
And I'm giving myself permission to see now.
Under the eye, that they don't get to control my life anymore.
That they don't get to control my life anymore.
Under the nose, that I am worthy of the life that I want and deserve.
And I am worthy of the life that I want and deserve.
On the chin, so no matter what that thing is that I want.
So no matter what that thing is that I want.
On the collarbone, I am safe enough here and now to have it.
I am safe enough here and now to have it.
Under the arm, and that feels a little bit different.
And that feels a little bit different.
On the top of the head, with every breath I take now.
With every breath I take now.
On the eyebrow, allowing my body and my nervous system.
Allowing my body and nervous system.
On the side of the eye, to release more of this resistance.
And to release more of this resistance.
Under the eye, so I can truly step into the life I want.
So I can truly step in to the life that I want.
Under the nose, the health and abundance.
The health and abundance.
And the chin point that I've been looking for.
That I've been looking for.
On the collarbone, I just didn't know how to get it before.
I just didn't know how to get it before.
Under the arm, but now I do.
But now I do.
And that feels a whole lot better.
And that feels a whole lot better.
Good. And then everyone take a nice breath in. Good. And what I'd love at this point is for everyone to check back in with, number one, the thing that they were working on, and also then how that's feeling now. If it was constricted and tight before, how has that changed? You know, sometimes we hope that it's disappeared, it's fine. That probably won't be the case if it's a trauma that we've been working with or carrying for 40, 50 years, perhaps, right? But any shift is progress. And that's a really important thing to remember with this, that anytime we're going, oh, it feels a little bit more like I can move. Wow, that's different. And that's the incremental shift that we're looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because often that resistance, right, is also a whole load of layers of tension in the body. And just that kind of landing, like just that I noticed that having gone through those rounds of tapping, just feeling much like I noticed my voice is a bit deeper, just being more rooted, more in this moment. And often when I do interviews, my brain is kind of going to a lot of different places. And there's a kind of simplicity then that just comes being in the moment.
There is. And I love that you said that, because so often, you know, we are a bit scattered. We're, oh, I've got to think about picking my kids up. I've got to think about all the different things. And so when with the tapping or whatever modality we're using, we come into that state of being present with ourselves, with what's truly happening. And through the tapping, we can name it and speak out the challenge and then offer different possibilities for a little bit of release and relief. That's where the magic happens.
Yeah. It's interesting. What I was tapping on as we were doing it was that, particularly when we're in the ramped up process of making conferences, and I do a lot of work with the US, like my bedtime gets really bad. So I end up going to bed at like kind of 1 a.m. and sort of like an average. And then the kind of kids come in at like 6 or 7 and not particularly welcome, I must say. But when I was sort of initially, I was like, I don't want to go to bed earlier because, you know, so I finish work and then I watch crap telly for a few hours where I'm winding down. And then there's another part, oh, but I need to go to bed early so I can get up early and, you know, hours before midnight. And I noticed as we were going through it that I went from being this sort of tussle to just being really much more curious. I was like, as I was trying to make sure I was doing my job in the exercise, but I was also just reflecting like, it's really interesting. Why do I do that? And I was like, you know, part of it is that I'm sort of an introvert, and as much as I have this quite extroverted kind of job, I really like my own space and time. And I love it when the whole house is quiet, everyone's asleep, and I just sort of do my thing. And I find myself being more interested and curious of that need that could be met in other ways than the kind of tension, resistance, frustration place.
And that's, I love that you picked up on that, because one of the words that I love is curiosity with this work. We can't physiologically be afraid and curious at the same time. So when we can put ourselves in that space, a lot becomes possible. And that's why I love doing the tapping, because it helps to move us. And perhaps a great thing for people to do at home right now is to, as we notice that thing that they wanted originally, we could just take another minute to check back in with that and do another round, but in a sense of stepping into that new them, whether it's the sleep, the weight, the whatever relief they might be looking for you. Maybe it's another way of meeting that need for that quiet alone time that doesn't involve staying up till 2-3 in the morning streaming something, right? And
so trying to finish Netflix is like a project to finish
the whole of Netflix. Exactly. Yeah, oh my goodness. Yeah, so if it feels safe enough to them, want to just go ahead and close their eyes and almost really in Technicolor internally step into that space of having that thing that we've been working with today. So feeling at the goal weight or the sleep or the, you know, the financial abundance or whatever it is, the GI system that works beautifully, and just notice, okay, how would I breathe in that place having that thing? Okay, and as we do this, I want everyone to just tap on the top of the head. You can close your eyes or keep them open. I'm allowing myself, and you don't have to say anything, just tap along. Allow myself to be in this place of truly owning my new reality. That I can be and do and have all these things that I deserve. Then we'll move on to the eyebrow, that I have been through a lot. On this side of the eye, I am so thankful to my body for keeping me safe all these years. Under the eye, and I've resisted you, body, and all the wisdom that you've had to share. Under the nose, and right now, I'm imagining embracing my body, and maybe some people want to do this or place a hand on the heart. Thank you, body. On the chin point, for keeping me safe. On the collarbone, I wasn't ready before to step into this life because I was afraid. Under the arm, but I'm not afraid anymore. I'm finishing up on the top of the head because I want and I deserve the life of my dreams. And I give myself permission right here, right now, to step forward into that life today. And just pausing and taking a second to just allow in that gratitude and that self-acceptance of body and soul and exactly where you are on your journey today.
Wonderful, Karen. Thank you. I think that it's really helpful to bring it into an experiential piece. And I wonder for people that want to continue to work with this, they can obviously rewatch and rework with the session you just offered us. But do you want to share any sort of final thoughts to help, people bring what we've been talking about more fully into their lives?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. There's so many things. I think one of the things that I love particularly is the personal peace process, which sounds fancy, but it's really just making a list of challenges that we face or, you know, things where we're experiencing resistance and just doing a little list and then how strongly we feel each of those. And then setting a timer on your phone for maybe 5 minutes and doing one a week, one a day, whatever works for your schedule. And maybe even starting with, I don't want to do this, right? This is silly. I don't want to. And giving ourselves that gift of that moment to spend with ourselves, to tune into our bodies, and to really access that capacity for healing that is within each and every single one of us, that innate wisdom that we're born with, and that through traumas and events and circumstances, we've just forgotten. And that's really what this journey has felt like and feels like still for me. Is it's like a coming home to realize that we are not broken, that we are whole as we are, and that we are capable of healing. We have that wisdom within us today.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. For people that want to find out more about you and your work, what's the best way to do that, and what some of what they can find?
Well, they can follow me on the socials, on Facebook or on Instagram. They can check out my website if they want. Another great resource is the Tapping app, which we have, which is an awesome way if people are unsure, how do I get started? That's the reason behind the app in the first place, was people get scared of, well, I don't know what to say. How do I access the right words? Those meditations are all done for them on so many different topics. COVID, anxiety, stress, pain relief, all of the different things that are so helpful. That's just a brilliant way for people to just do a small amount of time and release whatever they need to and then move on with the day.
Wonderful. Karen, thank you so much. And thank you for sharing so much of your own story, but also making, I think this is, it's such an important piece. And I feel like almost for anything else in the conference to be helpful, we've got to make sure we're dealing with the resistance piece. So thank you so much for your sharing.
Absolutely. Today. And thank you for having me. It's been my absolute pleasure to be here.
Brilliant. Thank you.